listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Stand Up and Raise Your Heads. The sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, December 2nd, 2018.
Today, we enter the holy, hope-filled season of Advent. We have lit the first candle, the candle of hope. And then we hear words of destruction. And the words ring true. Where do we find hope? And how do we hold fast to hope when so many things in our world are pointing to destruction? How can we speak of hope in a country whose government sanctions tear gas on children? In a country that refuses to work with the other countries of the world to combat climate change, which threatens us all? How can we speak of hope in a world where more and more countries are turning away refugees and asylum seekers, God's little ones? The other night, my younger son, Jacob, and I were talking about a paper that he was writing about the rise of antisemitism in America. We talked about the mass shooting in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And then he said, "But that wasn't the last one, Mom. Wasn't there another mass shooting? Since then, hasn't there been another?" And we neither of us could remember where. For those of you keeping track, it happened in Thousand Oaks, California. Maybe we forgot because that area of California was almost immediately afterward caught up in a wildfire. Or maybe we forgot because there have just been so many mass shootings that we lost track of one. How can we speak of hope in such a time as this? How can we speak of hope to our national community divided by politics, religion, fear, and hatred? How can we speak of hope if that division is right in our own families, or even, in some moments, right in our own hearts? We, of course, are not the first generation of people to look around the world and wonder, where shall we find hope? The ancient prophet Jeremiah lived at a time filled with violence, destruction, and loss. In the midst of calling the people out for the behavior that he believed caused that destruction, Jeremiah reminded the ancient people to hang on, to take heart, because God would not fail them, because God's promise of justice and a new reign of righteousness in the very city of Jerusalem surely was coming. In the midst of chaos, he said, "Take hold of hope. Don't let it go. The light is coming." Just so, we are called to seek light and take hold of hope in the midst of the most oblique depths. Jesus knew how easily we lose hope for the world, hope for our country, and even hope for ourselves. By his life and teaching, he demonstrated for us how to keep hope alive by challenging those who claimed authority but did nothing to help those in need, by lifting up the powerless, and by inviting everyone to his table. In his last days, Jesus kept trying to tell the disciples that they could continue the work he had begun. In this morning's reading from Luke, Jesus paints a vivid picture of what will happen before his return. And if we look around, we can see those signs coming true. There are signs of the earth's distress, and there is confusion among the nations. Many people live in fear of what is coming next. Of course, people across human history have always been in fear and worried about the end of days. So there's nothing unique in that. But fortunately for us, Jesus doesn't stop there. Lest we get distracted by the very human ways of death and destruction, Jesus continues. Watch, he says. Pay attention to the world. The seasons will continue to change. Summer will give way to fall. Fall will yield to winter. Winter will melt into spring. Spring brighten into summer. Plants and trees will bloom and grow and die. The fig tree, last of all to bud, will put forth shoots eventually. And it is when these things happen, again and again, it is then that we will know that the realm of God is near. Instead of hanging our heads down or turning inward in immobilizing fear, Jesus says, stand up, lift your heads, raise your eyes, pay attention. This is good news of truly biblical proportion, and this is the promise of the gospel. As long as we have life and breath, as long as the earth continues its journey around the sun, the realm of God is near, just there, almost within us. In Advent, we look forward to celebrating the coming of Christ into the world at three times. The first, of course, is the incarnation of Christ in the infant Jesus. The final way is that we look forward to some grand day at the end of history when human life will end and wrongs will be righted. The good will be rewarded and the evil will either be cast out or healed up from all their evil and welcomed back home, depending on how you read the text and how you think about it. I don't have much theological or spiritual interest in this final way. It makes sense that human life on the planet will, in fact, at some far day, end. And it makes sense that humans have always wondered about this and feared it and tried to make sense of it. But it's none of my business. Jesus, by the way, agrees with me on that point. He says, of that day, no one knows the hour, not the angels, not even the Son. So he said, go about your business. I am most interested in this middle coming of Christ, this thing that's happening. I'm interested in the coming of Christ into the world in mystery and light now, today, among us and between us and within us. It is this coming that we are called upon to hold fast to with courage and hope. Now, in this moment, when the world is shrouded in despair and the light of hope is often hard to discern, now is the moment when followers of Christ are called to be the bearers of hope, to hold hope out for those who live in gloomy depths. We who embody Christ are the lamplighters and the hope igniters. Now, when things are bleak and we are tired, is exactly when we are called to speak hope into a frightened world. God is near. We are not alone. Anne Lamott concluded her recent book on hope with these words: we have all we need to come through. Against all odds, no matter what messes we've made over time, no matter how dark the night, we offer and are offered kindness, soul, light, and food, which creates breath and spaciousness, which create hope sufficient for the day. We do not need to fix every broken thing alone. We need only keep our eyes open for signs of light and our hearts open to the joy of being the light. We can feed ourselves and each other hope sufficient for this one day. Tomorrow's hope will be provided tomorrow. And with our hearts rooted in hope, we can work and pray for justice. Well, that sounds very nice, but how? I struggle with this myself. How to stay grounded in hope? How to keep my head up and my eyes on the horizon for light? And I think, in some kind of ironic way, it's actually harder during the season that leads up to Christmas, when the world is going crazy with a frenzy of things that are meant to be joyful, when our calendars are so full, and the stores relentlessly play Christmas carols really loud and badly, when there are too many things to do, and presents to wrap, and the checkbook to balance to make sure that those gifts make sense. How, in that moment, can we orient ourselves, stand up, and look for the realm of God, which is beside us in the mystery of Christ's ongoing presence? Well, I have four pretty good suggestions. They're not perfect, but they're pretty good. I borrowed them from a colleague of mine named Margaret Markison. She said the first thing to do in this crazy season of a scary world and a frenetic internal world, the first thing to do is find something to read every day to ground you, to remind you that you are not alone. I have a couple of books that I turn to, and I've made a little cheat sheet that's on the table in the narthex. The first one is Watch for the Light. It's a book of reflections written by everyone from Bernard of Clairvaux to C.S. Lewis to Oscar Romero. You get the full scope. I've also listed a couple of online sites you can go to for daily Advent devotionals to remind you that you are not alone. The second strategy can be quite playful. Choose a reminder for occasional prayer throughout the days of Advent. Now, this is not, I mean, I know many of you have times of day when you routinely pray, in the morning or at night or at meals. This is something different. Make it a habit to create a marker for yourself, to remind yourself to pray. It could be every time you eat something. I don't mean just when you sit down to a meal, but every time you pass the cookie tray or every time you pick up a Starbucks cup. It could be every time you stop at a red light or accidentally bump into someone in a crowded place. Every time you hear jingle bells again. Or, if you are especially ambitious, it could be every time you check your Facebook page or get a text message. This is not the daily prayer of deep meditation. It's a simple pause to cast your eyes up or to drop into the depth of your soul. Just for a moment to reorient yourself. But use a marker. Use it lightly. Use it joyfully. The third strategy, and this is one that I have a little trouble with, but I'm really going to try, is to give up complaining. Now, complaining is an easy habit to fall into. It's so easy, we often don't even realize we're doing it. But it's such a burden that we create for ourselves. And it acts to draw a veil across our eyes so that everything becomes colored by complaint. We are allowing what is truly important and beautiful in the world to be hidden from our own eyes by our habit. I'll speak confessionally, by my habit of complaining. I challenge each of us, whether it's something serious like politics, something disheartening like the commodification of Christmas, or something that's merely annoying like that one habit your colleague or family member has that drives you nuts and which they will not stop. No matter what it is, let's don't complain. Instead, let's recommit ourselves to praying for those politicians and for the stressed-out business owners who are trying to make their books balance by the end of the year, and for our beloved, albeit annoying, colleagues and family members. And if you can't muster up a prayer for them, pray for peace. Now, this does not mean, of course, that we suddenly approve of everything our politicians are doing. It just means that we move from moaning to either letting go or acting prayerfully. And finally, and this is really practical, my final suggestion for how to touch down into hope and stay rooted and grounded there through Advent is to move. There is a lot of adrenaline generated by the stresses and strains of the holiday season. Planning, shopping, cooking, concerts, traveling, hosting, financial worries. Add to that the underlying stress of the world, and that has us living with carrying a pretty heavy load. All that adrenaline takes a toll on our bodies, and so on our spirits. So I encourage you every day to move around. Get outside if you can. You don't have to work up a big sweat. You don't have to be on a huge plan of changing your whole life. Just move your body flowingly, easily. You don't have to stress. It's for you. If you can't get outside, maybe go up and down a flight of steps a few times. You could even make that your marker for prayer. Every time you go up and down steps, that could be the mark. Do whatever your level of mobility allows and is right for you. The world is in a terrible state. The realm of God is so close, it is almost breaking through from that other world into this one. Both of those statements are true. We get to choose to belong to the side of goodness breaking in and speak hope by our lives into a hopeless world. Amen.
Listen, listen, God is speaking to you.